So we're in this season, All I Want for Christmas Is, and we started 2 weeks ago with All I Want for Christmas Is More Hope. And then last week, All I Want for Christmas Is More Joy. And today we get on to the power one, like the real power. And the power one in this Advent season is that amazing word, the word that changes everything. The word is love. And the whole world resounds with this word and echoes with it. And we crave it in lots of different ways. Love. And even the whole season of this series called All I Want for Christmas is inspired by that 1994 Mariah Carey song, All I Want for Christmas Is You. And music, the overwhelming majority of all songs written, the majority are driven by that word, love. In all kinds of genres of music, love is this dominating thing that takes place for the majority of songs. Even if it's some kind of like sad country song, it's because love has failed. You know, it's connected. Love is deeply intrinsically connected to so much. Even the phrase, the power of love, has been made into a song, which has been written in different ways. There's different versions and there's different songs called The Power of Love. I had emailed to me still some fight songs, more a power song emailed this week, The Power of Love, the Huey Lewis and the News version. And there's a Celine Dion kind of a version. And there's a band, I don't know if they came over here, called Frankie Goes to Hollywood. They were in England in the 80s. They did one called The Power of Love, and it's all out there. But of all your songs, I want to go with you a little bit just to get you warmed up on the whole love deal. I think my favorite out of all love songs, and there's a few in there, like Somebody to Love is one of my favorite, and all of those different ones. But really, I have to lean into a Beatles number. And the Beatles number, I mean, they kept saying it and saying it and saying it. All you need is bum, bum, ba-da-bum, all you need is love. Join me, da-da-da, all you need is love, love. Love is all. Three loves in a row, three loves. All you need is love, love, love is all you need. Is it? And its purest sense, it is everything. It is everything, it causes everything, it's the start of everything. Let me go to the text today. We've got a few things different for you today. Keep yourself on your toes. Let me just read some verses from 1 John chapter 4. Those not familiar with your Bible, if you've got a Bible app, you go to 1 John, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you've got a printed Bible, like, you know, a kind of hard, real one, go to the back of your book, Revelation, take a left really slow. Really slow. It's like one page. There's this book called Jude. And then really slow down, like 3 John, bad page. 2 John, bad page. 1 John's a few pages. Chapter 4 of 1 John. And you're thinking, it's a Christmas series, Des. Why aren't you going to like one of the Gospels? Hey, it's all about love. And love is the anthem throughout the whole of the Scriptures. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 7 through 12. Give you an outline of today. Then we're going to do something different. Feel the affection in these texts. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Therefore, our actions, how we love one another, completes God's love. Intrinsically connected. And I have been really wrestling through a phrase in recent weeks. Somebody said this, and I've been working it through and trying my best to act in response to it. Here's the line. What does love require of me? So whenever you're faced with a situation, a person, a thing going on, what's my response? Well, what if I put that question in front of my response? What does love require of me? What does it look like to act with grace and mercy and compassion and kindness and truth in this situation? Because that is what love is. What does love require of me? And it's kind of an arresting statement. What does it require of me? And the second goes with it. How you perceive God's love is absolutely in direct connection to how you receive it. How you perceive love is how you'll receive love. So if you perceive it to be limited, you'll receive it limited. If you perceive love to be something that can wound and hurt you, then you'll receive it with a suspicion that it will wound and hurt you. But the love of God is far exceeding that. But maybe you have to go to a place to reconcile, why is love so powerful yet so painful? And we'll lean in a little bit to that today, but I want us to look at there is a greater love that we can experience today. I don't want to just get in your head. I need to get in your very soul. I want you to feel and experience that God loves you. And it's not just a cliche, yeah. Here's the problem, because you've resigned it to a cliche, that's why your behaviors are not a behavior that is demonstrating the one in whom you belong to. What does love require of you? What if our behaviors, how we spoke to each other, how we reacted to situations, how we behaved in a sense of our character, what does love require of you? It's wow. But it's also liberating. The three things I'll talk about love today are going to be this. Love always was, always is, and always will be. Always was, always is, and always be. But what does love require of me? So today, something a little different for you right now. And I've already kind of heard this once in the 8:30. So we meet as our leadership here as a church, is we have elders, and there are 10 of us on the elder board right now. We meet twice a month, and we met this last Tuesday, and we're meeting, and we meet at night, and we talk through all kinds of different things in terms of trying to discern what the Lord requires of us for His church at this time. We're sharing different things, and then one of our elders decided to share something, and he was sharing it. It was compelling, and he was kind of implying that he wanted me to say certain things. And I just thought, in the middle of the room, I went, I'm not saying that, you are. And it was so compelling, so good, I went, the people need to hear that from you. Because we're a team, they need to hear that from you. He was like, I'm not going to open my mouth again in future meetings. I'm like, all right, but you need to share that. So I'm going to invite one of our elders up now, and he's going to sit on a stool, not because he wants to add to his coolness, but because he's got some pain in his hip. So this is David Butler, everybody. And so many of you know David Butler. And here's the thing. Right now, you now know I'm not the coolest dressed person in town. Like he always is. Always is. But before he speaks, let me just share one or two things about David. And we deeply love David. He's an incredible guy. And he's gone through a lot of physical challenges and in recent time, and he's got some pain in his hip, and that's all there. But he shared with so much passion on Tuesday night that I thought, how am I supposed to replicate that? So out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, the scripture says. And so I want you to hear from the Lord as an overflow of David's heart to you this morning. In what does love require of me in application to a specific thing? So listen up. It's all good.
Good morning. First of all, as an elder, let me tell you, what an incredible blessing and honor it is to be an elder here at this church. And I want you all to know, on behalf of the elders, just how much we pray for each one of you and how excited we are to support Des and the staff and shepherding and supporting this church. This is an awesome, awesome community. And so as Des was saying, you know, we kind of had a conversation last week, and I wanted to share something with you. Is that okay as I do that? Is that all right? Share a little something with you? Part of the issue that we talked about was the issue of giving and the issue of year-end giving. And so when we talk about giving, I wanted to share with you part of my family's personal testimony when it comes to the blessing of giving. So about 4 years ago, I left a very well-paying job to start a new business. And when I did that, I was about, you know, 60 years old and just had zero money. And so what we decided was we were given at a fairly high level when we had money. We decided to keep that level of giving even though we had no money and no income. And so the reason we did that was because we were influenced by someone who asked us and told us that God is more interested in the size of your faith than the size of your check. And so what happened is we started that, and what was amazing was that God continued to bless us and provide just enough for us to live and just enough for us to give. And then when we were moving about the second year, God said, I'm going to stick a challenge to test that expansion of faith. And he gave me stage 4 prostate cancer, which was a big bummer, right? And so what happened through that, my healthcare costs went from like $300 a month to $1,500 a month just for me. Our costs went up, but we decided that we were going to increase our giving because we felt that God was less interested in the size of our check than the size of our faith. And so we continued to give, and God continued to bless us with ministry, joy. Our ministry expanded, and God showed us that it was what he required of us. And so last year, we were moving along, and God said, I'm going to bless you some more. And my cancer came back. I had radiation therapy. I couldn't work. And then we said, when On the Move campaign, we said, God, we want to give more than what we had. And God said, I'm going to bless you. And he gave us just enough to expand our giving for the On the Move campaign. And then he said, I'm going to bless you some more. And about 2 months ago, I found out I need to have open heart surgery because of what the radiation did to my heart valve. I mean, that's exciting, right? And so what happened through that was God continued to bless us. And then we said, we want to give a huge gift because we want God to know and we want to expand his glory and we want to show that God is awesome and blesses us extensively. And so right when we were figuring out how could we give that year-end gift, a company that we had done work with a while ago called me up out of the blue and said, we love your company, we want to buy it, and we want to bring you on your staff on more than what you're making now. And so we were able then to plan for that gift because God is less interested in the size of our check than he is in the size of our faith. And the second thing I want to tell you is sometimes we're stuck in habitual giving. So there was a young man that I worked with, a really cool guy, and we were having lunch at the Grace's Annex, otherwise known as Culver's, over here. And we were having lunch there, and I'd seen him put a dollar in the offering bucket. And we had lunch. I said, dude, you're graduated? I mean, you have a good job. Why did you put a dollar in there? And he goes, hey, that's the way I was raised. When I was young, my parents gave me a dollar. I put it in an offering thing, and that's what we did. That was my habit. And I said, how much is your lunch costing you? He said, $8. I said, dude, you just ate 2 months of tithing. And he began to see that the habit of our giving constrains us and prevents us from the freedom of faith. And now his giving has grown. God has blessed him. And so what I want to share with you is God has not taken away my pain. He has not taken away my hardship. But my family has seen that what God requires of us is to know that he loves us so much that he will take care of us no matter what. So my challenge to you is that when you think of your year in giving, whether you're a college student or a high school student, that God is more interested in the size of your faith. And the number that Mark put out there, that's nothing. Because our God fills all the granaries. Our God has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. And so what will it mean if this year we tell God that we are going to allow him to expand our faith by giving? And so thank you for allowing us to serve. And let me leave you that no matter where you are, that God is always, always, always more interested in the size of your faith than the size of your check. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, I want you to stay. If those are standing, stay standing. I don't invite, if we've got any elders or emeriti in the room, or even any of our staff team, to come up on the stage now. We're going to pray for David. He's gone through some extreme physical challenges. He's got a lot of pain going on in his hip right now. He's got this heart surgery coming up. He's had the radiation treatment with the whole stage 4 cancer and all of that going on. And every time in the middle of this whole last few months of this season, all you get is joy. All you get is joy. It's just like, yeah. You know, he complains about this pain, but still goes to the gym and does 2-finger pull-ups. And all you other guys, he's in his 60s, by the way. So, you know, and he's still cool. But we should, what does love require of all of us? Love requires that we, as it says, love one another. And so we need to call upon the King of the universe, don't we? And to pray for him and to comfort him and bring strength and health and healing. So gather around him, guys. Reach out. Put your hands out for him. I'm going to lead us on behalf of all of us. Reach out in prayer. What does love require of us? It requires us for us to pray. Lord God, we are so grateful for David. I personally am so thankful. He's an incredible inspiration to all of us. But we now pray in the name of Jesus for physical restoration, physical healing. Lord, we pray for this heart procedure coming up that it is super successful. We pray that the pain in his hip, Lord, we are asking now, Lord, would you bring about divine surgery there and bring restoration? Lord, we pray that you increase his joy, even though he is so joyful. And we thank you right now that we can call upon you, the provider of everything, to bring your presence, your hope, your joy, your love, and your peace. And we pray it, Lord, would you bring your healing through David's body right now. We pray for him. We pray for Vicky, for their marriage, for this season, that they may experience and encounter a supernatural joy in this season more than ever before. We are grateful. We are thankful for him. And to you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks, guys. Take a seat. And so, really quick this morning, I took a different direction at the 8:30, and just now a slightly different one again for you guys. And I prepared all this message, and I said this at 8:30. I went, wow, I spent so many hours preparing this, only for me to go somewhere different. Let me just use the framework the same. Love always was. We often say at Christmas that love is when Christmas is when love came down in Jesus. And the answer is kind of yes, but it was already here. Either God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, or he's nothing. Love was already here. He just needed to express it in a way because we are separated from him and our sin and our separation was there. And he had to demonstrate his love for us by sending his son. For God so loved the world that he wanted to bring about our forgiveness and our restoration and our justification and our absolute salvation. And he did it through love. What does love require of me? Let me ask you a question. What is your greatest need today? It's a practical question. What is your greatest need today? Have you brought that greatest need to God today? What is it? I want you to sit on that for a minute. What is your greatest need? Let me briefly take us to somewhere that often at Christmas we read. Written 700 years before Christ came, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words. They're familiar. You don't have to turn to them. Let me read them. In the context of what is your greatest need, and in the context of love in every way, the prophet Isaiah said this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." Here we go. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor." How is that possible unless he is all love? A wonderful counselor isn't just intelligent, isn't just full of wisdom, but full of compassion, full of understanding, full of love. What is your greatest need? Maybe it's in the realm of, oh, Lord God, you are a wonderful counselor. Listen to me right now. Isn't that what a good counselor does? Listens. And then helps you direct. Have you gone to the Lord today with that? Then it goes on to say, he will be called Mighty God. Now, some of you think the word Mighty God is he's a tyrant and he's aggressive. No, the Lord is a warrior, but what is he fighting for? He is fighting for you, that you and him and all of creation be back in right relationship with him. He is mighty, but the force that is coming from him is a love. I mentioned this at the 8:30 today, and this is what I remind you. Some of you young kids have no idea what I'm going to talk about right now, but there was an old cartoon in my era, maybe for yours, called Popeye. Who's familiar with Popeye? Now, here's the thing about this I want to just connect to you a little bit. Mighty God. Now, Popeye, the sailor man, was only super mighty, incredibly strong when he ate his spinach. And it was in a can. But he didn't. If I was Popeye, I'd just be taking it 24/7. But Popeye only ever reached for the spinach in certain moments. And those certain moments were always in connection when the love in his heart was causing him to behave with a mighty strength. And that was always connected when his love, olive oil, was in trouble. And there was a sense of injustice, and he would see olive oil, who really wasn't that pretty. I mean, I don't imagine any young man growing up thinking, I want a bride like olive oil. Anyway, moving on. So he would see her in trouble and he would, that's it. And then here's the phrase, I just can't stand it. I can't stand no more. Bad English. But it was like, this is not good and this is the love of my life. Bam, out comes a spinach, biceps like David Butler's. And then before you know it, boom, 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 he would go in and rescue olive oil. What brought about the rescue? Overwhelming love. How much more the king of the universe being called Mighty God just says, I just can't stand no more. I'm sending my one and only son into the world. I'm sending him because I love. And then he calls him also Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. I know for some of you, your experience of Father is not one that is everlasting and pure. I want to pray in the name of Jesus, somehow, some way, you can disconnect that and go, but our God is perfect, is ever faithful. And his love is always, always, always present. And it is pure. And there is nothing that nothing that could stop him from always scooping you up like a true everlasting Father always would. And then he goes on to say, and he will also be called Prince of Peace. The connection there. What does a good parent do to a toddler who is losing his or her mind, and they are completely irrational, and they are overcome with emotion, and they can't even breathe? You know that crying where you can't breathe? And it's all, a parent just goes, it's all right. I've got you. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Maybe you've gone in and the child's been having a nightmare, and it's irrational, and there's fear, and a parent goes and says, it's okay. It's okay. What is, as a parent, what are you doing? You are bringing, trying to bring peace to that child in the middle of pain. And yet our God is the Prince of it. The Prince of Peace. Today, you can encounter that afresh. You see, the scriptures go on to say, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is, that this is, it's everything. It all starts there, it all ends there, it's through it all. And we as a people should be known by it, because love always is. You see, the text went on to say that, how do we know that? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world to be this atoning sacrifice for our sin. So when I say the phrase, God loves you, is that something that is a one-liner, but or is it something that penetrates your soul? You. Oh yeah, Des, you don't know what happened last week, last year, 10 years ago, last night. You don't know. No, if I was God, I would not love me. You're not God. His love is massive. Let me go there. Ephesians 3, you don't have to turn to it. This is familiar. For those who aren't familiar with the Bible, so a lot of the New Testament was written by an apostle, Paul, who was Saul, and he ends up being this church planter and starts these churches and wants to help them and minister to them. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes these letters to these churches. Now, this particular church in Ephesus, modern-day Turkey, their city and their culture prior to hearing the gospel was very spiritual, but in a different way. You see, their city craved love. But with all humans, we desperately need love, and yet we'll often accept being fulfilled with it in the wrong places. We'll want satisfaction with love, and we'll try and get it anywhere we can, even if it's temporary and in the wrong places. And Ephesus was a city that needed experience, and they even were so driven sexually that the goddess of that city, Artemis, was called the multi-breasted one. And the temple worship was so driven around sexual encounter, but at the heart of it was a human being or human beings desperately craving love. And God, in all his goodness, knew that at the heart of it all, the enemy was stealing what was the most powerful thing in the world. And they were trying to get satisfaction in all the wrong spaces. And Paul delivers to this church, hey guys, let me explain to you what this love really is. Because how you are experiencing it right now is selling you short, isn't it? And it's causing pain. It's not bringing satisfaction. There's so much more. And he writes these few words about God's love. And I want it to impact you this morning. In Ephesians 3, he writes this. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. There it is again, that blows your mind. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God's love is wide enough. It's so wide, it's a love that is for everyone. Now let me just sit on that word, everyone. Everyone. If that means you need to go to the person or people groups you despise the most, oh, his love is enough for them. Same as it is for you. He wants to pour out as much love for that person, that people group, that every nation, tribe, tongue, lifestyle, choice, whatever. He wants to pour out the same measure of love for them as he does for you and as he does for anybody else who you think's the most holy right now. It's wide enough. It's wide enough. What does love require of you? It requires of you to live with that embracing of all. Yeah, but there's not about, whoa. The moment you squeeze God's love in, you have just squeezed it out. Next, it is long enough. How long? It's beyond. It's never ending. That means for some of you who have in recent seasons going through a heavy time, a hard time, even a stumbling and falling time, there's still love there waiting. Yeah, but how much longer can God keep loving me? Keep finding out. It's long. It's beyond. He's there every time to pick you up. Now, he doesn't pick you up and go, keep going. He picks you up and go, see? Come on, there's another way. Walk with me. What we need, but it's gracious and it's merciful and it's compassionate, and you cannot get to the end of it because it's long. Then he goes on to say it's high. How high? It's above all, greater than all. That's how high. You may be going through, and you know, for many of us here at the church and myself at the moment, it feels like there's a mountain in front of us. Life can be difficult and you're climbing and you're like, are you kidding me right now? Not something else. But God is greater than. He is greater than. He is higher than. Higher than what we think. This is too difficult. This is not possible. He is higher than. And if you don't think he's higher than, you've not met him yet. You've got to have that lift up your eyes moment. How high is his love? You cannot get on top of it. That's how high. That's how high. And then it says how deep. This is my favorite. My favorite. Sometimes we need to be reminded how wide his love is. That means anyone and everyone is welcome here. Because God's love is wide enough. Sometimes we need to know how long, because we stumble and fall and God's love is there to pick us up and say, keep going. And sometimes we need to know how high, because we feel overwhelmed, yet love is above it all, but how deep. The deep one I like, because I don't know about you, but sometimes there are seasons in life where you need to know, this is Isaiah even said this, that God, he swoops down at times like an eagle. His love is so deep that it can get underneath your darkest, deepest despair and scoop you up. when you think you are falling and falling and it can't get any lower, his love is still there underneath it. It's that deep. It's underneath. He'll be there to catch you when you fall. And he comes down, and this is the word rescue. Why do you think the Lord went to the cross and died and was buried? He descended to deeper than you ever need to go, because he went and took those keys of death and of hell and said, I'm going to conquer that separation from my God, my Heavenly Father, no more. And then he is risen. He has been deeper than you ever have experienced. And his love is there, deeper. Do you feel that today? It's very feely this day. We're talking about love. This is emotional. Deeply emotional. Love always is. It's that big. And it, see, because love always will be. It always will be. And this is the part where we just need to be reminded. I read before, dear friends, since God so loved us, verse 11, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You see, God's love always will be, but you have to understand this. It's got to overflow. The role of love in our lives is to give it away. People even say, you've never received love if you've never given it away. You receive it, you have to give it, because it's just not love until you love with it. You have to give it away. This whole journey of walking with God is about overflowing to other people. What does love require of me? Do people encounter a love of God and grace and mercy and hope when they encounter you? When people step onto this campus in these next few days and into Christmas Eve, will they encounter a love that is wide and high and long and deep? In our behaviors, how you are talking to each other, how we're treating one another, how we share our opinions about things, is it with that posture of, but what does love require of me? Is it overflowing? Is there a way of just being kind and compassionate? You see, the scriptures talk about this. This is where the church gets to shine in the darkness. When do we get to shine? The way we love people. That's it. That is it. The way we love one another is how we get to shine. I want to bring this to a close, because this was just something, as David was sharing, that I felt my response today was, so what does love require of us? Moving on to the end of 1 John chapter 4, it says that perfect love drives out fear. Drives out fear. And some of you, not just David, are facing some physical concerns, let's put it mildly. Right now, physical concerns. Would you just raise your hand with me right now if you've got some physical concerns? Maybe a doctor's report, maybe you're fighting an infection or an injury, or just raise your hands if it's like, oh, come on now. What does love require of me? Raise your hands if you've got some physical stuff going on right now. I'm going to ask all of you with your hand to come down here right now. All those with your hands raised, come down here. I don't want to. I don't care about what you want. What does love require of me? Love requires of me, the scriptures just said, to love one another. It requires of me to love. Spread out. Fill the room. Oh, wow. The Lord did not create humanity for us to live by rituals and rules. He created us to live by relationship. didn't he? That's how he created us. He wanted us to live by love. That's what he wanted. Come on down. You can spread wide if you need to get some more space. Wow. I have so many little cliches in my brain. Sometimes it disturbs me. But here's the thing. One of those is this. We are not God's messengers. We are the message. We're the bride of Christ. We are the message. We're not the messengers. We live it, breathe it, because he wants to live through us and in us. So look, church, the rest of us, look at all these people who right now have some physical things. And we all know when you're physically battling something, it affects you, doesn't it? It affects you. Sometimes it draws you closer to the Lord, doesn't it? Some of you are like, yeah, it does. I don't know what to do about praying for that then right now. If he's bringing you closer to the Lord, why would I want that to be interfered with? But for the rest of us, I want all of you right now, I've done it once before, to turn around and look out towards the body of Christ. Turn around. And then this is, well, this is just something that I know is really, really important. I want all of you, as you're looking down at these people, some of you, the Lord has put on your heart. See that face there? I don't know who they are. I want you to get out of your seat, go put a hand on their shoulder. So I'm asking all of you now, if you feel there's somebody down there that you know or don't know, to come. I'm going to be praying, but you're going to just stand with them. Just stand with them. Put a hand on their shoulder. Just come on out. Come find somebody. If somebody's already got, I wanted that person, they can have two. It's okay. They can have three. It's okay. But have a look around. Have a look. There's people behind them at the back near the stage. If you don't know them and someone's taking your person, maybe go to that person as well. Just make sure. Those of you who are sick right now, just if you've not got anybody with a hand on your shoulder, put your hand in the air. Those down the front here who are sick and need somebody down here, put your hand in the air if you've no one with a hand on the shoulder. I don't want you to stand alone is what I'm saying. I don't want you to stand. Somebody here, this tall guy here needs someone to put his hand. Put your hand on his shoulder. Get some ladders maybe. Yeah, you can reach. That's good. Come on down. Spread out. It's like, oh, I want to get in. Just muscle in. It's okay. There's a crowd of people. We're going to do a series in January all to do with the one another's in the scriptures. I believe it's time for Grace Community Church to become a church that is known for its love for one another, that is known for who we belong to and how we treat one another and how we are and who we are. And that's compelling. So, so compelling. But what does love require of me right now? It requires of me to have compassion and to pray for you, my brothers and sisters, and for you to know that God's love is higher and wider and longer and deeper than you could possibly ever imagine, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, one of your names is the Lord who heals. So Lord, we pray for you to show your power and bring your healing. Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. So I pray right now, shalom peace, fall and fill my brothers and sisters who are wrestling with physical difficulty right now. One of your names is Wonderful Counselor. Lord, would you come and would you bring your wisdom, but would you bring it in such a way that we encounter your love as you help us walk this journey with this physical difficulty. But Lord, one of your names is Everlasting Father. Lord, would you scoop down and pick my brothers and sisters up like a newborn child, and would they know and experience that you have them in your arms right now? And would they hear from you from heaven that, Lord, would your voice speak to them throughout this week that he is with you? Emmanuel, God with us, he is with you. But Lord, I declare, the scripture said that you are mighty God. So we pray, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the mighty God, would you come? Would your presence be made known? Would your love be an unsurpassing knowledge to my brothers and sisters right now in the midst of these physical concerns? Lord, I pray for a miracle. Miracle upon miracle, that your power may be seen, that your name may be glorified, and that our tongues will confess your greatness in response to this. Lord, and may your church be known for a people who love, because we belong to the one who is love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to close today singing with some energy a great Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. Here's the line. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. I don't want to just leave it to the angels to sing. We should sing it as well. So guys, as you make your way back to your seat, let's sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I will see you all at 10 next Sunday. Sorry, 9:30. 9:30, 9:45. At 10 next Sunday. Get a lot of invitation cards today. Invite everybody to one of our Christmas Eve services. It's good, yeah? How are you feeling, church? Are we good? It's good. All right. Take it away, team. Have a great week, everybody.